Our reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the humiliation of our Saviour. Thank you that the one who is very God became very man. Thank you that he humbled himself, entering the virgin's womb, being born in that poor stable in Bethlehem, living amongst us as one who would be despised and rejected by men. We thank you, O God, for such awesome humility. We realize, O Lord, that we are so proud and so conceited, and you have told us that we are to be like our Saviour, we are to walk in his footsteps, we are to let that mind of Christ be in us, the mind that humbled himself so much. You have said in your word that we are to be submissive one to another and to consider others better than ourselves, not preferring our own interests but the interests of others. And so, Father, we ask that you would continue to humble us under your mighty hand, that we would truly, Lord, fall before you in worship, in awe, in adoration, realizing, Lord, our smallness and our sinfulness before you, but, O Lord, also basking in that amazing love that has covered all of our sin and that gracious care and kindness that has been shown to us all our days. O Father in heaven, we thank you that we bow before a God who takes the one who stoops low and lifts him or her up and raises us up to be with Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are near to the contrite spirit. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you take us from the dunghill and you sit us as princes with the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you have raised us to the highest point and we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Thank you, O God. And we ask as we gather again around your table that we might be humbled in your presence. We live in a hurting world. We live in a world of much distress. We have seen again, Lord, the traumas of our world with that flat falling in Miami and Florida, and Lord, probably more than 100 lives being lost. And we have seen also in Japan, Lord, that mudslide and another group of people's lives being taken from them. Lord, we live in a world where there is much trauma, but we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And you are the God in which we can depend. And we pray that in those very difficult circumstances that men and women will call upon the name of God, will cry out to you and find in you hope and refuge. Remember those who are away from us this day on holiday. Remember Alan and his family and pray that you might refresh them. Remember also Henry and Caitlin who have gone from us to serve you in other fields. We ask that you might bless them and encourage them. And Father in heaven, we remember those who are sick this evening, who cannot be here because of ill health. Lord, bless them and be with them, and may they know that you are all that they need. Lord, may your portion of blessing be theirs this evening. And for those who have come out, Lord, in weakness, those who have come out, Lord, in difficulty, that you might draw near to them at this communion service. Draw near to all of us, we pray. May we experience your presence. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to spend a few moments speaking about the subject of humility. Now, God uses various things to humble us. We're all prone to pride. We're all prone to trust in ourselves, to think we know the answers. We're very prone to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And God uses different things. Sometimes he uses our circumstances to humble us. Things come into our lives, and they're difficult things to cope with, and they humble us. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's financial hardship. Sometimes it's failure. We want to succeed in life, but things keep going wrong, and we keep failing. And God uses this to remind us that we are weak people dependent upon God. Sometimes it's relationship difficulties. Maybe somebody we've trusted in speaks ill of us. Maybe it's a loved one, and we find it very difficult in that tense relationship difficulty. There are many things that happen to us in life, aren't there? Sometimes separations, and they can be very hard to cope with. Now God, he gives grace to the humble. If he uses these circumstances to humble us, and we don't react against God, we don't become bitter, but we allow God to use these trials to humble us and even learn to rejoice in them, knowing that God is working at those times. God will give us grace. He gives grace to the humble. He lifts up his people. But it's the proud person he resists. Now, perhaps one of the most regular ways that God uses to humble us is in his presence. You see, it's when we're not praying, when we're not worshipping, when we're not meditating upon God and upon his word, when our minds are far from God, that we're proud, that we trust in ourselves. But it's when we're maybe in a prayer meeting and we come with the saints of God, maybe feeling downcast, but at that point, God meets with us and we're humbled in his presence. Sometimes it's in a worship service, isn't it? God speaks to us and we're humbled in his presence. But particularly, it's around the Lord's table. It's when we meet and in the quietness of the Lord's table, considering Christ dying upon the cross for us, maybe examining our own hearts and recognizing how far short we've fallen of all of his standards. Maybe it's at those times that we're most humbled. And as we come to the cross, and think of the amazing love of Jesus for us, that he should love us, though we've failed him, though we've sinned, is at those times we are most humbled. And I trust that this communion service this evening will be a humbling time. And humbling times are exalting times because God lifts up Christ and we are lifted up with him. God doesn't want to humiliate his people. Communion service is not about humiliation. Rather, it's about being humbled in the presence of Almighty God and praising him for his immense love for sinners like us. Now, the passage that we read, Philippians 2, says if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and we know that, don't we? We know the fellowship that we enjoy. We know the comfort of God's love. If there's any affection and mercy, well, Paul says, fulfill my joy. He's speaking to the Philippian church. If you know those bonds of love and you know fellowship with Christ, well, fulfill my joy. You as a church, don't be disunited. Rather, be like-minded. Have the same love. Be of one accord and of one mind. Seek to be on the same page. Think the same things. Agree. When there's differences, accept one another in love. Submit to one another. Then he says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So in the Church of Christ, nobody doing anything for themselves, nobody doing anything for their own names, but rather the name of Christ. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Paul writing this, he once said, I'm the least of all the saints. Less than the least of them, he would say. Paul recognized his sin in the sight of God. He wasn't looking at the sins of others. He recognized his own sin. He realized he was a chief of sinners. And says, if I look out on the church, I must say that I'm the least of all the saints. He considered others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. So don't just care for your own life, but remember others. Think of them. Put others before yourself. Here he's saying that unity comes through humility. If we're to have that same mind and that same love, we need to be humbled. Well, how do we do this? Verses 5 to 11. Paul says, let the mind of Christ be in you. You have the mind of Christ. Well, you have the mind of Christ, he says to the Corinthians. But if you have that mind, let that mind dwell in you. Be like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What sort of mind? He, though in the form of God, though very God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The Lord Jesus was willing to become nothing for us. He was God, yet he was willing to be the servant of servants. When he performed a miracle, he would say to others, be quiet about it, don't speak about it. He was humble, became a man, was born of a virgin. Think of it, the creator of all things. It was through Jesus that the world was made. Through him the world was made. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the one who has no beginning and no end. He is the one who is equal with the Father and equal with the Spirit. He is Almighty God who created all things, the stars, the planets, the universe, all things. And yet, in a great mystery, he becomes like one of his creatures. He takes upon himself human flesh. We read here, he took the form of a bondservant, of a slave. He gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. He came in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. His submission was to his Father in heaven. That was his humility. He obeyed the Father's will. He was prepared to go to a cross for us. Everything that the Father ordered him and ordained for him to do, commanded him to do, he did. And he voluntarily went to the cross that we might be forgiven. That cruel cross of pain and agony. The cross where he took our sins and bore our judgment. The Lord Jesus was obedient to death upon the cross. And God was pleased with his Son. And he raised him from the dead and he exalted him to the right hand of the Father. And one day Jesus is coming again and every knee shall bow to him. And we're to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're called to be humble like him. He was willing to live for 30 years in obscurity to be the carpenter's son. He was willing to be identified with us by being baptized, just like men and women who were sinners were baptized. Christ, the sinless one, identified with us by being baptized by John the Baptist. He was willing to face every temptation that we face, to be ridiculed and rejected. He, the King of Glory, was willing to go through all this for us. Let this mind be in you. Now, the world's way is so different, isn't it? You look at the world. People say if you compare the top tennis players, there's a difference amongst them. People tend to like Federer because of his humble temperament. Federer doesn't take the glory to himself. He's very gracious with his opponents. He doesn't shout and holler on the court like everybody else. And some others, well, they may even be from your own nationality, but the way they act just puts you off them. So much pride. So often the sports stars of our world want to say, I am the greatest. There's nothing wrong with us as well, having pride in our nation. But surely it's wrong when you start to boo or hiss or whistle at the opposing team. You might say that's just sport, but that's sin. That's not being gracious. That's creating rivalry. The world's way is about me promoting myself and putting down others. God's way is something very different. It's something very beautiful. It's the teenager, the Christian teenager, who looks after his disabled brother or sister, who spends hours and hours not playing with his friends because he's looking after that disabled brother or sister. It's the husband who cares for his wife who has dementia. It's maybe the woman who gives up her job and her career in order to care for an invalid husband. That's humility for you. It's the Christian at work who's prepared to be second fiddle. He may be better than the others. He may have more nous, more ability. But if he has to, and if it's the way it works, he's happy to take second fiddle. Now, God is pleased with humility. Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is the one to whom I will look, him who is humble and has a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Who does God look upon? The one who really fears him, trembles at his word, who's contrite in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are blessed? The meek, not the proud, but the meek, they will inherit the earth. God loves those who live godly and peaceable lives with all reverence. Those who consider others better themselves. What did Peter say to the women? He said, those women who have quiet spirits, gentle spirits, these are very precious in the sight of God. These are the things that are beautiful in the sight of God. So we ask ourselves, how do we cultivate this humble spirit? How do we become like Christ and have the mind of Christ? Well, first of all, we need a true knowledge of ourselves in the light of God's holiness. We need to understand ourselves. Isaiah was a preacher of God's word, but he never understood himself better until he went into the temple, until he had a vision of the awesome power and majesty of the triune God and saw those seraphims flying and singing the praises of the holy God with the smoke in the temple, the foundations of the temple shaking. He never better understood himself than then. Then he said, woe is me, I'm a man of an unclean lips. I may be a preacher, but I'm a man of unclean lips, and live amongst a people of unclean lips. He was humbled, and then God says, go, you will go for me. Peter never understood himself better than when Jesus met him on the seashore of Galilee. And Peter said, in the presence of Christ's holiness and his power, depart from me, I am a sinful man. And Jesus says, now you're ready to go. Now I'll send you to be a fisher of men. We need to understand our own sinfulness in the light of God's holiness. We're also not to consider ourselves more highly than we ought. The disciples failed when they started to compare themselves one with another, and they started to ask on that road as they were traveling together, Jesus not far from them, ask each other, who's the greatest? Peter, James, and John thought they were, spoke to their mothers about this. Their mothers went to the Lord Jesus. Can these be at your right hand? They wanted to know who was the greatest, and Jesus would say he was least. He was last of all. He is the greatest. You see, we're not to compare ourselves one with another, but rather compare ourselves with Christ himself. The Bible says pride goes before a Paul, and Peter had to learn that, and many of us have learned that, haven't we? We've trusted in ourselves, and we've fallen flat. The Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Peter was full of himself. Lord, I'll never deny you. There's no way I'll deny you. I'm strong enough. The Lord Jesus said, you don't know yourself. You don't understand yourself, Peter. You're not trusting in me. How do we cultivate a humble spirit while coming to the feet of Christ? Just this last week, a very sad story of an American missionary we knew very well. Now he's separated from his wife, having to go for treatment in America. Things went badly wrong in their marriage in Brazil. We need to all take heed lest we fall. Now, Abraham was a godly man, and Abraham was a humble man, and Abraham knew how to put others before himself. When there's a conflict between him and Lot, he said, let's sort this conflict out, Lot. I'll tell you what, you make the decision. If our herdsmen have been squabbling, if they've been striving with each other, we need to separate. That's the best way. We're going to continue as friends. We're going to love one another, but we need to separate. But I want to give you first choice. Lot, you choose where to live. If you want the verdant pasture land, if you want the best land for your animals, you have it. And Lot chose. And Abraham, the greater man, the older man, the wiser man, the man who had all rights to be the to have the first choice, let his nephew choose. And peace was maintained amongst them. He humbled himself. Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. How else do we humble ourselves? Well, when we face criticism, we need to say, Lord, help me to respond aright. Let me learn from Moses. Moses was the meekest man, the Bible says, that ever lived up until Christ. The meekest man. How did he respond to criticism? He prayed for those who criticized him. He said to them, you're not criticizing me and finding fault with me. It's against God. He interceded for the people. We need to also learn from people like David. When Abigail comes to him and says, don't go to war. Don't go against my family. She gave him gifts. He listened to her. Moses listened to his wife, Zipporah. When Zipporah said, you're wrong, Moses. You should have circumcised our son. You're a man of blood. He listened. Humility is when we learn to listen to what's right from others. But above all, spending time in the presence of God, keeping our eyes upon Jesus, not being self-assertive, not glorying in human capabilities, but glorying in Christ. It's lovely, isn't it? The Lord Jesus, when he performed miracles, be quiet, he said. Sometimes as churches, the danger is it's great to have live streams and it's important that people at home can hear and it's important that we get the message out to the world, but there's always dangers for us in everything. How much are we publicizing our church and pushing it out there and wanting to be something great, and showing everybody in every form of media? There's a danger of pride in all sorts of ways. Remember the Lord Jesus. He took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. He who is the greatest of all came alongside his disciples and he served them. We're to behold him, the Lamb who bore our sins away. Our eyes are to be upon him. May God help us to be humble. And isn't it lovely to be in a communion service, a place where God meets with us, where we humble ourselves before the living God, and where he lifts his people up, and where we're strengthened in our faith. As we confess, he forgives all of our sins. He loves us. And he lifts us up and makes us what we should be.